The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Love Math. This week, Pastor Mike presents part one of this series.
Single person that is kind of maybe struggling in their singleness, trying to understand what it means to be a single Newspaper. when you eat. For instance, it would say, how are you doing? What happened to you today? Matthew 8:8 said, we could get people a pet or a husband. The others, they're both equal. Take and choose. You can get people a pet or a husband or a wife and take them places. You can do, you can walk a dog, you can walk a husband, whatever. Ladies, Matthew is going to be quite the cat someday. Or Jennifer. Brian, age 8, said this, sing a song, stomp your feet, read a book. Sometimes I do know. Sometimes I do know what loves me. So I do one of these. Take some baby, probably it's a little bit of a fake, maybe you just put the kids on. This is the reality of the situation that is probably too happening. Sociologists are recognizing the common phenomenon in which people are moving more often. And as people move more often, they are relocating to a place that is apart from their core relationships. They don't live in their hometown. So the people they grew up with or their family are not around in the place that they live. And so it's becoming more and more important for people to prioritize to go out of their way to build relationships intentionally. Because they're not just easy. They're not just, they didn't grow up with these people, so they had to go out of the way to build these relationships. And as a result of this moving, our world is experiencing an epidemic of loneliness. In the UK now, they have a minister of loneliness because of the reality that our world is slowing because people are lonely. John Woodward said this, with billions of people in the world, somebody got to come up with a system where nobody is lonely. And somebody did. And it's called the church. That is why the church was created. We are the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And if God is love, and we are his body, what should his body be? This is who we are. If we are to become who we were created to be, we are to become love. Because we are his body, and God is. John 13 says this. So now I'm giving you a new command. It's a command we talk about all the time. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world. This is one of those big, like, I can't do exaggerating a little bit. Your love for one another is what will prove to the world that you will be disciples. We talk about how the followers of Christ will show fruit. It will be evidenced by their lives that they are followers of Christ. And what is that fruit? That fruit is love. God is love. We were created to be love because we are God's love. I think it's incredibly important that we keep in mind our nature because right at the beginning of the Bible is a description of who we are. And we talk a lot about how the Bible starts off with this idea that we were created in God's image. And that comes from the very first chapter of the Bible. When God creates man, there's a description there of who man is. We find it in Genesis 1:26, it says that God said, this is the quote here, let us, God, which in our language is a singular word, not the original language. If we were to correctly translate this, it would, the gods, or that the gods said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. So when we were created, we were created to be like God. That was the purpose of our creation. So first of all, if we are going to be like God, what does that mean about us? Well, first of all, we are to be in us. We're not created to be individuals. this is frustrating. When I changed this word to God, how many of you felt uncomfortable with this? It's not a comfortable feeling. Because in our mind, when you apply the plurality to God, but we say God is one, those are in conflict. See, Judaism is a monotheistic religion. And it's revolutionary as well. Judaism was kind of how, where we come from. This was the beginning. This is how God first started to relate to human beings. It was the first covenant that eventually morphed into the second covenant. It was replaced by the second covenant. And the second covenant is what allows us to be in relationship with God. So this Jewish faith is a monotheistic religion. And it was strange that way because in that day, the great religions were the religions that had the most gods. The more gods, the greater the religion. And Judaism comes along and says, there is one God, and it is above everything. It's above all. One God. And then, but that passage is that passage that just kind of, it seems contradictory. How can the religion that believes in one God have in its very Bible a word that describes God as perfect? It goes on, verse 27. So God, this word God, in the original language is Elohim is a plural word. That so God created human beings in his own image. Moving on. In the image of God, so this is us, he created them, like God, plural. Male and female, he created them. We'll get back to this next week. So we were created to be like God. We were created in God's image, and God's relationship. Being created in God's image means we were created for relationships. That's the foundation we're setting today. We were created for relationship. Of all the things that God created, we are different. See, the idea of us being evolved apes, and that's it, does not flow with what Scripture tells us about this. We are more than that. That's a simplification of who we are. We are more than just evolved creatures. We are created in the image of God because in us, He breathed His breath. He breathed His spirit into us. So we were created special, different, set apart. We were created for relationship because we were created in the image of God, and God is the image. Now, all throughout the Bible, we see that the singular God is described in plural terms. If you read the Old Testament, you see that this number three just kind of keeps popping up. It's the holy, holy, holy idea. Just number three is all throughout the Old Testament. And then the New Testament, the New Testament covenant comes along. And it starts to get put into more concrete terms. This is where we get the 1 + 1 = 1. I think God's three persons, but one being. And then in the New Testament, this is kind of something that frustrated the Jews a lot at the time. We see the Christians start to apply different names to the three persons. And Jesus' birth is the first time we see a name associated with all three of those, or a separation and description of all three of those. And it happens again in Jesus' baptism. Let's read that one real quick. After his baptism, as Jesus came up, God the law, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God. So the Spirit had taken a physical form, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and settling into him. He's got the Spirit. Separate from this voice that's going to come from heaven. And a voice from heaven said, and a voice from heaven said, this is God the Father, saying, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. We have all three people in one place. We see it again in the Great Commission, multiple times, which we'll talk about if we want to. But Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, secondly, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, thirdly. Three names, one God. And this is hard for us, hard for human beings to understand, because humans are 1 × 1 = 1. This makes sense to us. We know this better. if this math works in the physical reality, we'll describe a human being in this way. Because we know that human beings are one being and one person. And that's up to people. And works. But God is different than this. God is one, but he's three persons. And I don't know if you have any mathematicians in the room, but this doesn't work. Three. It doesn't work. Why? Because we're describing God. We're not describing something physical. We're describing God. Because God is one being, three persons. And that makes up one God. God is one being, three persons. God is a relationship in which we can wrap our minds around. And there are a lot of things about God that we just can't wrap our minds around. Just like, I can't wrap my mind around you. Some things are beyond reason. We can't understand them. People said this: God is one, but God is not alone. That's it. To say God is one almost implies that God is alone, that God is a little bit lonely up there in heaven, that he needed to create some people so that we he would be lonely. Dan Peeble taught this message. He quoted a friend of his who said this: God's relationship with himself is confusing. Welcome to relationships. You may have a confusing relationship with him. In everybody's minds on this idea, when Jesus started talking this way and his followers started talking this way, everyone's minds were just kind of blown by this. Like, kind of made people resistant. So this dying to telling him. And 200 AD came along and he said, I'm going to sign a word to this great promise. It's Trinity. And the Trinity means that God is one being but three persons. And boom, we had a word to describe it. We like having a word to describe things. Because now instead of describing it every single time that people get confused, inevitably they're going to get confused, we don't have to describe it. We can just say the word. Should it bother us that we can't describe God? Should it bother us that we can't understand God's nature? Like, he can put it into words and try to do metaphors, like, just we say, well, there's water, and water can be water, or it can be ice, or it can be steam, and we can kind of use that as a metaphor to try to understand God. But any metaphor we try to use to understand God's nature is going to fall apart sometimes. Why? Because God is not physical. God is more than that. God is beyond physical. God created the physical. And that means that if we were created in God's image, relationship is at the core of who we are. We were not created to be alone. And if we are alone, we are incomplete. It's the reason why loneliness has incredibly measurable down the sentence. Physically, if loneliness is damaging to your body, it's damaging emotionally, and it's damaging spiritually because we are not created to be. You know, my favorite part of doing weddings is the best part of doing a lot of negative parts of doing weddings. But when I do a wedding, the cool part is right before the wedding starts. The bridal party kind of goes back and hides in the back room because they don't want to reveal their pretty dresses yet. The groom and I go and we hang out in that room back there over on the side. And then while everybody's getting seated, there's just kind of a talk over on the side with this. It's like a traditional way to get into it. And in those rooms, in those conversations, there's some incredible things. Like, important things come up. You know, it's the minute, right? I'm getting ready to walk out, my life's about to change, and so what's coming to mind? So this, the guy usually starts either confessing stuff. They're like, listen, I got, they couldn't get up the courage to do it in premarital counseling, they couldn't get up the courage to do it, so it's like, all right, listen, I got to tell you, Pastor. Or they start asking questions that they were too nervous to ask before. It's the last chance. So they get to the serious stuff. conversations usually those conversations lead to actual life change. It's like, one of the things that drives me crazy about how we communicate with Western culture is we just get the surface of what we're not. We don't go deep. We just, hey, I learned about stuff, sports stuff, you know, a couple things that really matter. See you later. Experiences. Part of it is I'm not very good at one-on-one relationship. I'm just not naturally good at that. So maybe it's just me, but we just feel like so often can we talk about something that actually matters? Can we actually talk about something that's going to have an impact in our lives, or impact in our culture, or impact on all the people around us? Can we get past this? And the inability, because their most surface level is doing nothing about loneliness, is surface level conversation is not helping you feel less lonely. You can have surface level stuff all day long at work, then you come home and you watch the TV, and you feel like you have a connection a little bit to the people on the TV, and you start to get emotionally attached to these characters, and it just becomes a surface. This is why we need life groups, like not you should do life groups. We need life groups. You are more unhealthy if you are not in life groups. Because you need to go deeper. You were created for this deeper connection. So throughout the series, we're going to talk about a few different kinds of relationships. And we're going to go, like, practically in these things. We're going to talk about friendship. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be a single, romantically single. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be married in a healthy relationship. How do we as Christians, how are we called to a healthy marriage? We're going to talk about how we act as parents. We're going to talk about, in these relationships, all of the connectedness, foundation, the fact that we were created for these relationships. So if we don't do this well, then we are not living as we were created to live. Because the cool thing is, if the Trinity is real, if shown that God can be three persons in one being, it says something really cool about relationships. What that says is that that's not really foreign language to us if we think about it, but we think about it metaphorically. And weddings, you hear it all the time, this idea of two people becoming one. But we think about it more metaphorically, it's just an illustration. But what it says is that God is actually three people in one being, that says something really cool about the potential about our relationships, because what does Jesus say about God? Jesus says, I and the Father are one. The Father and I are one relationship. One person. Kind of like the Roman numerals. No. Kind of like Captain America. Or Captain Planet, it's like Captain Planet. God powers the mind. This is who we can be. Do you have any of those friends that when you're in contact with them, it doesn't matter if you've seen them a day ago or 2 days ago or 3 days ago, you can just kind of pick up where you left off. Like, you don't have to do all the background, all the nice weather or something. And then when you open up, you can actually, like, let's jump right back into the stuff that matters. If you don't have a relationship with that, let me tell you, it's awesome. Like, you should have a relationship with that. It is way better when ours are going home for it to friends. But the people who can just come over and help themselves to whatever in the fridge, you know, like, you're that comfortable in the relationship. Like, the fridge is a sacred place in some houses. Like, do you have any of those relationships? If no, you should have them. You will be a better person, and you will be less lonely, and you will be less depressed. You will be physically healthier if you have a relationship with them. Don't do all this small talk catching up stuff. So back in the First John passage, it says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. So, this is what it means to become human, created to be in Wesley Church, which we call sanctification. This is what it means to be sanctified. To be like God in the way that we love, to become more loving, because love is not just what God does, love is who God is. love for God is. Right? This is really amazing. We read passages like this, we just read it quickly because we think that it makes grace too cheap. We like to complicate faith. Just goes back to this. Christianity is just love. Christians love. And how do they do it? We love sacrificially. That's just what we do, like Christ. Because God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life. This is real love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away your sins. The kind of love that we're talking about requires sacrifice. And we don't have to wait for it for that. Mature love is sacrificial love. We say all the time that the best relationships start selfish. Because of attraction, because of a need, how somebody makes me better, I want. Best relationships start selfish, but eventually become sacrificial. The best relationships get to a point where I am not in a relationship because of what you give to me or what I can give in this relationship. I am in this relationship because of what I can give to you. This is why we have relationships like that. First of all, it says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love. This is the thing. If we do what we're supposed to do, people can see God when He sees us. But we love each other. God is in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. We are what reveals God to the world in the way that we love, because we were created for relationship. So if we want to be who we were created to be, we have to prioritize relationships. I spent a lot of time in my life at death beds. A lot of time talking to people right before they pass through. The doctors told them it's time to see. And you know what? Every single time the conversations that we have are about relationships. Every time. I've never experienced anything else. We're talking about relationships. Why is it? Because whether we prioritize them or not, relationships are what's most important to us. So why is it that someone in our life is spent investing in the accumulation of wealth, spent to achievements, but is spent building up our pride, making ourselves look good, or having as many toys as we can? That's what we spend all our time on. Why? In the end, it doesn't matter. Why aren't we just as intentional about how we build relationships, who we build relationships with, who are you meeting with on a regular basis? So this is what we say, that God at work, that we just have the surface level thing, but I think we have enough in common if we go deeper than that. Hey, you want to go get coffee every single Monday? That girl that you are a little bit intimidated by because she seems really cool, and she's a little bit intimidated by you because you seem a little cool, and you're both wondering, like, why can't one of us just step out and say, hey, do you want to hang me off? Then get intentional about it. Get past all the surface stuff and just go say, listen, let's start something. And maybe we call it a life group or something. It takes intentionality, and it's not going to happen naturally. If it just happened naturally, we would not have an epidemic of loneliness. If relationship building just happened naturally, we would have no problem with loneliness. But what happens when you have a negative reality, that's because something that you need did not come naturally. So you have to go out of your way to prioritize it and to make it happen. If you've been around New Life for more than a week, you know exactly what we're doing with this. Next Sunday, we're starting Life Group Sundays. If you're not in a Life Group, or if you're in a Life Group that you're not connecting with, if you're in a Life Group and you feel like we just think simply, get out of the Life Group. If you're in a Life Group where you feel like you're not building those relationships, I'm talking about change. Because there is, God has brought people around you if you're intentional, that you will have those kind of relationships with change partners. Now, I don't know if you know this, but actually, our church has grown like crazy since the last time we did Life Group Sign-Ups. There's about 100 of you here, but we're not here last time we did Life Group Sign-Ups. those of you who are new, you should know this. We're not talking about the second coming. We really don't think it's the second coming. We don't do anything that's more important than this. We say circles are better than roads. In other words, we would rather you be in a life group than be sitting in this chair together. Or better yet, go grab a couple friends that you have who maybe have stayed a little too surface. Or get a couple of your friends together, or co-workers, or family members, whoever it is, and say, hey, let's formalize this. This is the intentional one. This the formal one. That's not possible. In fact, that's some of our best life groups at some point. It's not, I signed up for some random group. It's, I'm going to surround myself with people that I know I have something in common. With that said, we have some new life groups starting with this year that are absolutely get them quick. They will fill up, I promise. Every single year, we have people who come to us and say, I'm just going to sign up for that group. And if they do it in time, they build up. Now what do I do? Sorry. Get it quick. I bet you get it quick. Because they do fill up. We got a few starting, we got a 45 groups. So for me to get them, there's some great ones to choose from. The prioritized relationships. It starts next week. God, I thank you for giving us a good example of what it means to live in relationships. Help us in a relationship. Help us to prioritize those things that allow us to be true to them. Help us to find those people who we can have that relationship.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.